Welcome to chapel this morning. I'll begin by reading Exodus 16:4-13-18. Then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. In the evening quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some gathering less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who had gathered much had nothing over, and those who had gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed.
Jonathan Swartz will be speaking to us this morning. John and his wife Rose moved here 2 years ago from Goshen with their three kids, and baby Isaiah joined them this fall, making the Swartz household a lively place to be. And when John isn't doing schoolwork or spending time with his family, both which he loves to do, you can find him working with his hands, playing basketball, or reading almost anything. John is a CJP student and a seminary student here at EMU, and is serving as a campus ministries intern this school year. I speak for the whole team when I say we've enjoyed getting to know him and value his insights and humbleness as he works with us. Please join me in welcoming John to the stage.
Chaska told me that she was going to end with inviting me to do an interpretive dance for you this morning. I'm assuming you would rather hear me talk, as boring as this might be, than do an interpretive dance. So I'm going to stick with that. Welcome to all of you who are visiting, especially those of you who have come from a distance. I feel like I should apologize for the weather, but I'm not yet local enough to say, you know, wait 10 minutes and it'll be different. So I don't know. We'll just have to see how that goes. My assignment for this chapel is to reflect a little bit more on abundant life, this theme that our Spiritual Life Week, which was last week, was covering. We had Amanda Miller Garber here from a local United Methodist congregation called Rise, and she provided some thoughts, and I'm not Amanda. I could only bring myself to drink 2 cups of coffee this morning. Apparently, I need less to get my blood pressure up to where it should be to speak than she does. But I'm just going to offer a few more reflections, perhaps go a little bit different direction, maybe be a little bit more abstract than Amanda was. But let's go. Let's see if it's coherent. Will there be enough? That's how it ended, that question ringing in our ears. 5 weeks ago at the School for Leadership Training, Ted Swartz offered his latest show, Laughter is Sacred Space. The show tells the story of Ted and Lee's acting partnership, friendship, and brotherhood. The story includes the hilarity that can emerge when two talented and passionate humans collaborate to make great theater. It includes the uncertainty of navigating career path and identity, and it includes the heart-wrenching pain of loss, grief, and anger at the suicide of one's closest friend and business partner. Will there be enough? Where is grace? The question a mentor of mine asked me last semester. A question that I couldn't answer at that moment. I had reached a place where I had run out of energy to move forward, to see a way forward in my own life. My ability to order my life in the way that I thought it needed to be ordered had been exhausted. So in many ways, I still ask that question. Where is grace? What is it? The question on the lips of the Israelites upon awakening in the wilderness to a fine flaky substance on the ground. "It's the bread that the Lord has given you to eat," replies Moses knowingly. Okay, thanks, Moses. What is it? The stories we tell and the stories that are told to us have the power to create new possibilities, new ways of thinking and being in the world. Stories shape us in particular ways. This morning, I'm going to use a story found in the Old Testament, as you've already heard from Nels, to attempt to weave together some reflections that I've had over the last several weeks as we've had this theme of abundant life in front of us. Abundant, plentiful, copious, ample, profuse, rich, lavish, abounding, liberal, generous, bountiful, large, huge, great, bumper, overflowing, prolific, teeming, plenteous, bounteous. I don't know what those words do to you. They do something to me. In the very early 1970s, theologian Jürgen Moltmann, in an introduction, a short introduction to his book, Theology of Play, wrote this: "But how can we laugh, how can we rejoice without care, when we are worried, depressed, and tortured by the state of the world in which we live? How can we laugh and enjoy ourselves when innocent people are being killed in Vietnam? How can we play when children are starving in India? How can we dance when human beings are being tortured in Brazil? How can I play in a strange land, in an alienated and alienating society? How can we laugh and rejoice when there are still so many tears to be wiped away and when new tears are being added every day? Is there really such a thing as freedom in the midst of slavery, joy in the midst of suffering, and praising God in the groaning of his creatures?" Change a few of the locations presently, maybe even keep some of them the same, and actually make one of those locations Harrisonburg or wherever you're from, and you might get at some of the questions that I have been wrestling with over the last several weeks. And my sense is that you also wrestle with some of these questions. How on earth are we to talk about abundant life when the world we see around us, and for many of us, the world that we see in us and coming out of us, appears to be anything but abundant? So I think we need to faithfully claim that the God we worship is a God of abundance. The biblical narrative would certainly lead us to that conclusion. The creation narrative seems to be quite bursting with God's creative, imaginative energy. God is abundantly faithful to Israel, even in Israel's unfaithfulness. We're told that Jesus' first miracle results in, not like cups or pints, tablespoons, generous amounts of good wine. Every time that the gospel narratives tell us of Jesus feeding lots of people, there's what? Leftover. There's more than enough. The scriptures are full of stories of God's abundance given to the creation. It also seems clear through the scriptures that this abundance is to be received as a gift. And so it's at this point that we might begin to see the tension that we're attempting to hold. Yes, God is a God of abundance, and that abundance is a gift. And yet I don't think we need to explore very far before we can recognize ways that abundant life has been misused, misappropriated, perhaps misunderstood, misdefined. Too often the free gift of God's abundance, and by that I mean material or spiritual, has been used to bolster power of those who have it over others who presumably don't have whatever abundance it might be in the same way. We live in a culture that values more of everything, and in an economy where greed is a virtue, and where one's worth and value is often dependent on what one has or produces. In this sort of culture, abundance can actually seem quite scarce. There's only a certain amount of abundance to be had. Some have it and others don't. As I talked with a few students this week and kind of reflecting on where I was thinking of going this morning, we identified what I would call an abundant life sweet spot. So it's this sort of area right in the middle that some of our church cultures have created, which says you can have this much abundance and you, if you're in with here, but you can't. But having more would say something about you, and having less would also say something about you. And so we deal with these questions of how much abundance can I have? How little? What is abundance? Do we have any better story to offer? A little over a year ago, Walter Brueggemann, a prolific author and scholar of the Old Testament, stood on this very stage and spoke inspiringly of narratives of abundance and narratives of scarcity. Brueggemann told the story of the Exodus as God's gift of departure from a system of scarcity that produced anxiety, which eventually led to exploitation of people as instruments of production. But the Exodus narrative isn't just about coming out, it also includes the journey in the wilderness. So the leaving includes learning how to live in the wilderness outside of Egypt. And so we come to the narrative read this morning to find the Israelites a month into their wilderness journey. They've already crossed the Red Sea and seen bitter water made sweet, and we find them again complaining to Moses, comparing the wilderness to the land of Egypt, where, yes, they were enslaved, but at least they could eat their fill of bread. Out here in the wilderness, there is no bread. So the Israelites make their desire for bread clear to Moses. Moses makes it clear to God, and God responds. So the next morning, the entire community wakes to a layer of dew that lifts and reveals this fine, flaky substance. Brueggemann describes what happened next in this way, and I quote, "The bread of heaven was like nothing they knew, and so they said to one another as they watched the gift of bread fall on them, 'What is it?'" In Hebrew, this question sounds a lot like the word manna, and that is what the bread from heaven was called. The bread is named "What is it?", which makes it a wonder bread that fit none of their prevailing categories. They wondered what it was. End quote. Fascinating, isn't it, that the name of the gift, the name of the provisional abundance that God provides, is a question. The Israelites receive the abundance in the midst of asking, "What is it?" In fact, the "what is it" is actually the abundance. So for the remainder of their wilderness journey, the Israelites ask the question and receive the answer as the question every day. Isn't that nice and confusing? So this is reminiscent. I had a college friend who, if you would ask him, "Michael, what is it?" you guess what he would say? "What it is." Which is not all that helpful. Or maybe it is. What is it? What it is. So the story we get in Exodus 16 is the story of a people struggling to receive the provisional abundance of God because this free abundance was so counter to what they had previously experienced. They struggled because the narrative of scarcity and anxiety had become a part of who they were. They couldn't imagine living any differently. As people, they had been formatively shaped by their experiences in Egypt. They lived in the economic anxiety and impoverished imagination of a land where abundance was based on performance and worth, and where a few profited from the labor of the many. So yes, the Israelites come out of the land of scarcity, and where do they go? A wilderness. I think sometimes we miss that part. What does that mean? Well, if you leave Pharaoh's land, you enter a wilderness, because at least Pharaoh's land has a narrative. At least I know how my life ought to be lived. The wilderness lacks all of that. Life just isn't viable in the wilderness. And so it is in this land of wilderness that the Israelites experience the dreamy, inexplicable, generous miracle of the "what is it" bread. The gift of something that violates the predictable. Again, Brueggemann says it best in his own words. So consider this sequence of great words: dreamy, inexplicable, generous, miracle. Finally, we will come to the word grace, a reach of divine generosity not based on the recipient, but on the giver. If we juxtapose the words grace and wilderness, we come to the claim of this narrative of wonder bread. Wilderness is a place, in biblical rhetoric, where there are no viable life support systems. Grace is the occupying generosity of God that redefines the place. The wonder bread, as a gesture of divine grace, recharacterizes the wilderness that Israel now discovered to be a place of viable life, made viable by the generous inclination of God. This grace in the wilderness is so foundational to Israel that the prophet Jeremiah later mentions it in poetry. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Jeremiah 31, verse 2. More interestingly, Jeremiah looks back and interprets the wilderness wanderings as a period of Israel's intimacy with God. For Jeremiah, the wilderness is not a temporary stop on the inevitable road to the promised land. It's not where Israel waits until she's good enough to move on. No, the wilderness is the place where Israel is surprised by grace, captured by God's capacity for generosity, and motivated to find her place in receiving that abundance. So it seems to me that to respond quickly to Ted's question, will there be enough? Or to my question, where is grace? With an affirmative, yes, of course there will be enough. Or grace is all around you. Can't you see it? Would be to truncate a wilderness journey wherein lies the possibility of an experience of abundance. What I'm suggesting, or rather what I'm wondering, is if sometimes abundance is lurking precisely amid our experiences of its absence. I'm not suggesting that I fully understand this, and I can't give you a mechanical description of how this actually happens. Maybe all I can do is to tell you that I think it actually happens. Just as the gift of the what is it bread in the desert asked the receiver to participate, after all, the Israelites did go out and gather manna 6 days of the week. Some of them tried to do it 7 days. That would have been me going out on the Sabbath to look for more abundance. Perhaps what we're called to do is participate in our own abundance, whether it is seen or unseen. A wise mentor suggested recently to me that perhaps what I'm being asked to do is to trust that I am a part of offering the abundant life that I'm seeking, not in lieu of the gift God gives, but as participant in that gift. Do you remember Amanda's reference to the rich young man last Friday? I would just offer the observation that I think that man is still functioning in a scarcity narrative. It's difficult to receive and trust in God's abundant provision if we still live in the land of accumulation and hoarding. I'm suggesting that the manna story disrupts all of that. Can I trust that even in my experience of the absence of abundance, there might just be abundant life to offer? I want to take seriously the reality that in this room, on this campus, in this city, are folks spread out along a wide spectrum of experiences of abundant life. Some of us, can we admit, quite enjoy Pharaoh's land. We're doing quite well in it. Some of us recognize our abundance, but we hoard it, thinking that it's scarce. Some of us are full of abundance and give it away. Some of us could barely get out of bed this morning. For some of us, the only abundant thing we see is the abundance of pain, anger, fear, or tears. So what might it mean for all of us to be disrupted by a good, gracious, and abundant God? I'll end with this quote from Michael Jenkins. Christian theology shapes its discipline, and I'm adding its way of being in the world, around the possibility that something new has happened in the midst of the old, and that this something new demands of us new ways of thinking because it refuses to be captured within our prior categories. The grace in the wilderness, the abundant life, the kingdom of God, and the what is it bread offer hints to us of the inbreaking of something new, something abundant, something that requires us to change our minds and to rethink our categories. May it be so today. So in case any of you, all this talk of bread has made you hungry, after this service is over, we're going to be moving this table down over here. And I'm just going to invite any of you who want to come down, grab a piece of bread. You can stay and chat if you want to. You can grab it and leave if you want to. But you're welcome to do that. Brandon Waggy was gracious enough to provide this for us this morning. So you're welcome to come and receive bread after the service.
Will you pray with me? Giver of abundant life, we thank you for your words spoken to us through John this morning. Just as you provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness, help us to remember that you provide for us too. Your gift of life given so freely is something sometimes hard for us to accept. We think especially about those who are living under oppression or suffering from mental illness, the places where your abundance is so hard to see. Forgive us for our greed, for it too limits our acceptance of your abundance. We are in need of your grace. As we go throughout this day, please disrupt us so that we may embrace and more fully participate in the life of abundance and grace that you have provided so freely. In your name we pray. Amen.